Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
It's great to be here. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles in the few moments that we have left. I'm going to preach to you a message tonight called The Original Sin. I know INXS had a song, You Might Know How, The Original Sin. Great song. And a lot of speculation around how did the original sin happen? Where did it occur? Did it occur in heaven? Was it Lucifer in his heart, the original sin? Well, we're going to have a look at the Bible and come up with something tonight, I'm sure. So Genesis chapter 2. I love the book of Genesis. Genesis is probably my favorite book. The name Genesis just means the book of beginnings. Genesis means beginnings. It's where we get the word genes. G-E-N-E-S, genes, genetics, the beginnings, the origins of everything. And so the first introduction of Genesis is an imprint of God. It doesn't give an explanation of God, it just states God. God leaves the searching to you and I. The Bible says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it's the glory of kings to search it out. So the Bible isn't a book of explanations, it's a book of statements. That basically create opportunities for you and I to investigate and discover. So Genesis 2 verse 7, I love it. It says this, it says, and the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. And then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. I love that. God formed the man from the dust of the ground. And then he breathes into Adam the breath of life. It's quite interesting because when God created the heavens and the earth, he just spoke. When God created light, he just spoke, let there be light, and light came into the universe. God said, let there be an expanse, and it was so. God said, let dry ground appear, and it was so. God said, let the dry ground bring forth animals, livestock, cattle, all kinds of creatures, and it was so. Then he pointed to the ocean. He said, let the ocean be filled with teeming creatures. And the ocean began to fill with fish and sharks and dolphins and penguins and orca whales and octopi and all kinds of things. And then God pointed into the sky and he said, let the sky be filled with birds. And it was so. But when it came to creating man, God said, let us make man in our image. And then he breaks tradition. Instead of just speaking, God actually takes his hands and he puts it into the dirt. It's almost prophetic that with the same hands that he would create, with the same hands that he would redeem. But the Bible says he formed the man. He formed the man from the dust. There he was. There was Adam. Eyeballs, ears, brain, kidneys, liver, spleen, bladder, central nervous system, spine. He's formed, but it's not until God goes into Adam's nostrils that his heart begins to beat. His central nervous system, his brain synapses begin to fire, and all of a sudden he becomes a living being. It's the breath of God that causes life. It's the breath of God. Son of man, can these bones live? Lord, you know. Prophesy, son of man. Prophesy to the wind. Prophesy breath into the dead bones that they may live again. There's somebody here tonight, you needed to hear that. God wants to breathe on you with his spirit. But anyway, the Bible says that God plants a garden eastward in Eden, and there he puts the man to tend and to keep it. He has a purpose for the man, and he's tending and keeping a garden. Then the Bible says that God looked, and he says, it's not good for Adam to be alone. Not good for man to be alone. So he puts Adam into a sleep, and he pulls out a rib, and he makes the woman, and brings the woman to Adam, and Adam looks and says, hubba bubba ding ding, check the legs out on this beautiful thing. Something like that. I can't remember what he said. He said something. And so he makes the woman. And then the Bible says that God out of the ground caused all the trees to grow. All the trees. Trees with herbs, trees with fruit, trees with flowers, all kinds of trees. And God said, see these trees, son? He says, of all the trees in the garden, you may freely eat. But see this one tree here? You can't eat off that tree. It's not free. Of all the trees of the garden, you can freely eat, no price. This one here, the price is too great. It'll cost you your life. A lot of people say, man, why would God put a tree in the garden? Why would he put it there? If God knows everything, why would he put the tree in the garden? Well, you need to understand that God lives by faith. God lived by faith. He actually believed Adam would obey. All he saw was Adam obeying. When Adam disobeyed, God already had a plan, but he saw God, Adam obeying. God always believes. But the reason that God put a tree in the garden is because God said to Adam, have dominion. Have dominion, be fruitful, multiply. He gave Adam authority. You can't have authority unless you're under authority. You cannot have authority unless you're under authority. And so God has a tree in the garden that belongs to him. And it's a test of lordship. He's saying to Adam, he's saying, of all the trees you can freely eat, this one's mine. I want you to just surrender. I want you to just trust that it's mine. I don't want you to eat from what is mine. I don't want you to steal from, I don't want you to take from what is mine. By doing that, you'll remain under my authority. And so my authority and my dominion will flow through you. I mean, even Darth Vader, if you watch Empire Strikes Back, gets that right.
What is thy bidding, my master?
I mean, it's a powerful scene. I'm going to preach a message, I think, on Darth Vader. But I love that, that he understands that he has authority because he's under authority. So God puts a tree in the garden not to trip Adam up, but to set Adam up. Anyway, so all the trees. Genesis 3 goes like this. Now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field that the Lord God has made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent replied to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be just like God, knowing good and evil. Then the Bible says, and when Eve saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, able to make one wise, she took from the fruit. And she ate and she gave to her husband who was with her. He ate also. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. And they saw that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and covered themselves, and they hid from the presence of God. It's interesting. It appears for a moment there like the devil was telling the truth. But you need to understand, to fabricate a fantastic lie, you'd put a little bit of truth on the hook. But Pastor, it said, the devil said that your eyes will be open, and that's what happened. Their eyes were open. Yeah, but have a look at this. See, he said, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, that's what happened. They knew good and evil. Yeah, except this. God is good. God is good. He knows evil because evil is anything outside of his goodness. The Bible says God doesn't tempt with evil, neither can God be tempted by evil. God cannot even perform evil. It is impossible for God to do evil. It is impossible for God to do wrong because God's nature is that he is good all the time. God doesn't wake up in the morning saying, today I'm really going to try to be good. He cannot help himself. God is good. It is impossible for God to sin. It is impossible for God to do evil. It is impossible for God to do wrong. So God knows what evil is because it is outside of his character. It is outside of his nature. It is outside of his will. When Adam and Eve took what belonged to God, now they eyes, yes, were open, and they know good from evil, but they are on this side of the ledger. They know good from evil, but they're on the side of evil. They're on the side of, because their eyes were open and they saw deficit. They saw that they were naked. They saw that there was something had lifted. A covering had departed from them, and now they were deficit. And so now for all eternity, they are on this side of the ledger knowing good, and it's always going to be outside of their grasp. It's going to always be outside of their ability. They could see peace, but it was beyond them. They could see blessing, but it would always be outside of their ability to be able to lay hold of it. They knew good from evil, from the side of evil. The reason this happened is because Satan knew that he had a kingdom that he wanted to rule over, but he had no subjects. So he, in order to get subjects, he had to get somebody to join him in his rebellion, but he knew that Adam and Eve would not willfully join him in his rebellion, so he had to deceive them. Now he had slaves. Now he had slaves as his subject. We know this because Morpheus said the truth, Neo. You were born a slave. We're all born with a sinful nature. Every single one of us are born a slave to sin. That's why you have to be born again. That's why you can't just try harder. Pastor, what about if I buy an orange robe and a pair of bongo drums and I play the air? Well, that's awesome. But you're still a slave to sin. You are still born a sinner. You are still born separated from God. That's why you must be born again. You have to be born again. That's why Jesus had to cross over. One of the most powerful words in your Bible, in my Bible, is this, the word purchased. The Bible says you and I are not our own. We've been purchased with a price. For there to be a purchase, there must have been a transaction. There must have been a price set. You better believe that God came to the devil and says, I want my children back. And you better believe the devil says, you can't afford them. And God says, name your price. He says, really? Look at them. They abort their babies in their mother's womb. They slaughter them. They commit homicide and murder. They cheat, lie, defraud one another. They're full of corruption. Really, you want them? You want them? Just let them be my slaves. They deserve to go to hell with me. And God says, no, I'm buying them back. Name the price. The devil says, really? All right. You want them? Your life for theirs. Your life for theirs. You want them that much? Are you willing to die for them? So 2,000 years ago, Jesus came. And he said, I did not come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. Three times he was examined. Three times the testimony, Pilate, Herod, Caiaphas. This man has done nothing deserving of death. This man has done nothing wrong. I find no fault in this man. Jesus was good. So good had to cross over to make a transaction into evil. Good from evil. He went over and he hung on a cross. Why? Why would he hang on a cross? Because he used the hatred of that Antichrist spirit against them. He outsmarted them. It was a chess move. And so they crucified righteousness on a cross. They crucified goodness on a cross. They crucified the Holy One on a cross. They crucified truth on a cross. Jesus hung on the cross, and at that time he was taking your sin and my sin upon himself, and he made an exchange. He gifted to you and I his goodness. He gifted to you and I his righteousness. He completely kept the law, and he gave that to us so that we could now cross over from here into here, so that now in Christ we can have peace. In Christ we can know goodness. In Christ we can have prosperity. In Christ we can have blessing. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came. You are so valuable. He purchased you. He purchased you. It blows my mind. But anyway, let me talk tonight about the original sin in just the few moments we have left. There are three things in this passage of Scripture that I want to point out to you. The first one is this, that you can go your own way. That you can go your own way. You can go your own way, go your own way. It's amazing how he says to Adam and Eve, he says, listen, if you want advancement, go your own way, baby. If you want to get ahead, don't trust God. Don't wait for God. Take matters into your own hand. It's amazing how many people sing the Frank Sinatra song, I did it my way. It's amazing how many people say that they're a self-made millionaire. You know, they're on Oprah, they're on all the talk shows. Well, you know, I remember when I paid my first billion. And they talk. It's amazing how many people, when you meet them, they're a self-made millionaire. They're an overnight success. And nobody is a self-made failure. You ever notice that? If they fail, it's this person and that person. This person ripped me off and I went in front of them and no one was... And it's always somebody else's fault when they fail, but when they succeed, it wasn't a teacher, it wasn't a parent, it wasn't a coach, it wasn't a mentor, it wasn't that they observed somebody else. They had the privilege of seeing somebody else make mistakes and they learned from their mistakes. Oh, no, it had nothing to do with anybody else. Yeah, right. The devil knows the power of you walking with God. So he doesn't want you to walk with God. The Bible says the whole earth is filled with the knowledge of the Holy One. Let me just tell you this. The devil knows he can't do nothing about the fact that the whole earth is filled with the knowledge of the Holy One. But he can certainly put a lid over your life so all that you have is knowledge of the Holy One. See, just knowing what a car is doesn't get me to where I'm going. I actually need to own one or need to get one. I need to Uber one to get to where I'm going. Just knowing. Knowing what peace is doesn't bring me peace. Knowing what a great marriage is doesn't bring me... There are things that God wants you to possess, that God wants you to own. So Psalm 23, one of my favorite psalms, begins with "The Lord is my shepherd." Our Bibles translate the Tetragrammaton, YHWH, the Hebrew covenant name of God, as the Lord. Whenever you see the Lord, it's YHWH. There are no vowels in there. And the reason it's translated the Lord in our Bibles is because the Jews were afraid, because the third commandment is, "Thou shalt not misuse the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And so they didn't know whether they were pronouncing it correctly because there's no vowels in it. Literally, it's like a wind or a breath is the name of God. It's Yahweh is the name of God. And so that they were afraid. So it's translated the Lord. Or sometimes they refer to God as Adonai. Adonai is the sovereign Lord, sovereign master. And then somebody got the vowels of Adonai and inserted it into Yahweh. And so that's where we get Jehovah or Yahweh is the vowels of Adonai put into the Tetragrammaton. But David says, "Yahweh is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing." And then he moves from the Lord, he moves into he. So once he says, "This sovereign Lord and master is my shepherd," he begins to describe his character. He begins to describe his attributes and his nature. He says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul." He, and he begins to talk about he. But then the climactic point in the psalm is David then says, "And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." I want you to notice it doesn't say, "Yea, though I walk into the valley of the shadow of death." He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." In other words, David is saying, even though I'm walking into a very dark and difficult time, this will not be the final chapter. This will not be how David's life ends. Most Bible scholars believe that David is writing that about his journey into the valley to face Goliath. And the reason it's called the valley of the shadow of death is because the opinions of the pundits, the opinions of all the experts, was that David's demise was imminent. Many were probably saying that Saul was desperate, and his desperation led him to make such a reckless move to send a 16-year-old shepherd boy with no military training, who has never had instruction in armed combat, to go into battle against an undefeated foe who towers over him, who's 9'9" tall, his bronze armor glistening in the sun. But it's not just Goliath that David will face, because a shield bearer went before him. The shield bearer has been trained on how to block projectiles that may come from the enemy, so that Goliath doesn't have to do any defense. All he needs to do is take a sword and bring the fatal blow to take out whatever stands before him, to crush and vanquish whatever enemy presents himself. And here comes David, no armor. He comes unarmed, no sword at his side. He comes completely, completely undefeated, completely uncovered, completely without any weapons, completely vulnerable. He walks into the valley. But watch what David says. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Not because the Lord, not because he. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." all of a sudden he goes from the Lord, he to you, for you are with me. See, when David walked into the valley, as he came down into that valley, God came. Goliath looks and he sees a 16-year-old unarmed shepherd boy, and he mockingly laughs. Am I a dog that you come with sticks? Come to me, boy, and I'll feed your carcass to the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. And he curses David by his gods. David looks at Goliath. He knows Goliath can't win. Goliath looks at David and thinks he can't lose. David knows he has the upper hand because all Goliath sees is a 16-year-old boy. But David feels a presence.
I feel a presence I haven't felt for some.
It wasn't Obi-Wan Kenobi. It was the Lord Almighty. David walks into the valley and you're here. I ain't leaving you, boy. But I thought you only turn up when I worship on the harp. My covenant is with you. My anointing is with you. When Samuel poured the oil on your head, Spirit of God came upon you. I never leave you, I don't forsake you. You're here with me in the valley. Yeah, you're going to triumph this day. I'm the same God who spoke and the universe exists. I'm the same God who said, let there be light. And the darkness could not extinguish it, but light went into the universe. I'm the same God who said, let dry land appear, and it was so. I'm the same God who said, let the waters be filled, and it was so. That same God is with you, son. Put a stone in your sling. Spin the thing. See, the devil would much rather you just be religious. The devil would much rather we just take the easy road. Don't disciple people. Take the easy road. Just provide a little sermonette on a Sunday. Just let them check the box of religious duty and religious obligation. Just create a liturgy. Just, you know, have some songs and you know, a little sermon, a little teaching and instruction. And then, you know, just let them be on their way. Let them check the box. Been to church, done that. Now let me get on with my life. What he doesn't want is for you to find God. He doesn't want you to walk with God, because he knows what happens when a man or a woman walks with the Almighty. When a man or a woman is dependent on the Almighty. When a man or a woman has the presence of the Almighty, there's no giant, there is no devil, there is no Goliath that is able to take that person down. There's no cancer, there's no leukemia that can take that person down. So he'd much rather you just be religious. Just go through the religious rituals. How you doing? Oh, blessed and highly favored. Greetings and salutations. He'd just rather you go through religious ritual with all the accoutrement of church and all that, but have no presence on your life. There is a price to his presence. There's a price to his presence. I find that there are things in my life sometimes that he's just not into. But I'm so into it, I'm like Schmeagol. My precious, yes, yes, the filthy little, yes, yes. And God's like, no, it's mine. And then I find that I've got to make a choice. For 18 years, I lived independent of God. People said, man, if you use girls, if you have sex with girls, but don't get committed emotionally, you'll be a stud. Just use the man. That's what a stud does. Doesn't even get attached. Just go out and have one night stands. And so I thought, oh, that must be the thing. And then afterwards, I felt so... broke so many hearts to fill a hole in here that was never filled. I left, took big chunks out of people. I thought, man, if that's it, I'm checking out. And then said, oh, no, what it is, it's drugs, man. You got to do this. You got to try this. So I started down that road only to find when the high wore off, I was just as empty as when I went in. And then they said, well, you know, it's just boozing. It's partying. It's be a Jack Daniels dude. So I did all of that only to find I was still empty. I thought, man, there's got to be more to life than this. And then I thought maybe it's sporting success. And so I started competing in Christian Surfers, and Piping Hot Wetsuits told me if you can do well in one more pro-am, we'll put you on our team. You'll be a team rider. I'm thinking maybe that's what's missing. And then I heard about a Jesus pro-am. And at first I thought it was a joke. And then I looked it up. It was for real. And I said, who runs this thing? They said, Christian Surfers. I'm like, Christian, isn't that an oxymoron? Like Christian and surfing. Like surfing's fun. Are Christians even allowed to have fun? I thought,
we don't surf because it's fun. And all fun is from the depth.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that fun, you know, is... And something is going to be like taking candy from a baby. I'm going to turn up. You know, they have to go to church on Sunday. I've got a whole extra day to practice. This is... Oh, it's going to be like a walk in the park. And so I turn up and anyway, I come forth. The guy who wins shares his testimony, shares how he grew up. His father was an Anglican minister, and they were always dissed at school. They were always given such a hard time, persecuted at school as the vicar's kids and the preacher's boys and all this kind of stuff. And so when he turned 18, he says, man, that's it. I'm done with all the persecution. I just want to be fit in with my peers. I just want to be accepted by my friends. And so he decides he's going to leave the church. And then he's sharing his story, and he says, you know, when you're trying to leave God and trying to leave your church, whatever you do, don't become a carpenter. And so I'm leaning over to my friend and said, why not? And my friend goes, because Jesus was a carpenter. He was? Yeah, but pay attention. So, you know, and so I'm listening. And so he talks about one night he's living so far away from God, so far away from the ideals that he was brought up with. And he's driving home. It's about 1:30 in the morning, and there's a sharp bend in the road, and he's falling asleep at the wheel. The next minute, he's missed the bend, and he's gone over the embankment, and the car is careering down the side of a hill straight into what looks like a massive tree that's going to kill his end his life. And all he can do is throw his hands in front of his face, and out of his mouth came, Jesus! And where there should have been an impact, there was no impact. And when he opened his eyes, somehow supernaturally, the car was back up on the road, driving on the road. He didn't know whether he dreamed that he'd gone over the cliff, but he knew. So he pulled the car over and he got out. He says, as he stepped out, he almost was slain in the spirit because of the anointing, the presence of angels around the car. And he says that day he knelt down on the side of the road and he gave his life to Jesus, and he's been following Jesus ever since. When he said that, I'd never heard of a God like that. And then he said this, and there are people here, you've tried drugs, you've tried booze, you've tried sex, you've tried using people, and you're still empty on the inside. He says, friend, you can't fill a spiritual hole with physical stuff. You need Jesus Christ. And he says, if that's you, pray this prayer. I remember bowing my head, closing my eyes, and asking Jesus to come into my life, asking him to forgive me of my sin. And when I opened my eyes, it was like the whole world was different. Now, every tree was still in the same place. Every blade of grass was still the way it was before I closed my eyes. What I didn't understand was I was born again. The only way I could describe it was like up until that point in time, I was dreaming, and now I'd finally woken up, and everything made sense. I remember we were driving home, and the sun was setting, and I had this buzz and this warmth in my heart, like no drug, like no substance, like no experience I'd had on earth, and I finally had peace. I knew that was 32 years ago, and I've been following Jesus Christ ever since. Can I just encourage you? Can I just tell you, don't settle for religion. Don't settle for just facade and fake and going through the motion. Walk with God. When you walk with God, you can walk into a stadium filled with devil-worshipping Satanists, and when you walk in with God, you're the majority. You're the majority. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When you walk in with God, there's no one greater than God. There's no one more powerful than God. The devil would prefer that you just become religious than you become powerful. Powerful people walk with God. But the devil says, go your own way, live independent. Second thing the devil says is he says, why don't you covet what you don't have? Why don't you covet what you don't have? Have a look at it. They've got all the trees in the garden to eat from. And the one the devil focuses on is the one they can't eat from, the one they can't have. They've got all the... Do you really mean to tell me that they've gone and they've eaten off every single tree and now they're bored I mean, how I know that's not a fact is 5 years ago they discovered kale is a superfood. I remember going to get a smoothie and like, would you like some kale? Oh, what's that? It's a superfood. Oh, what is it? It's kind of like spinach, but with hair on it. Like if you get spinach leaves and take the hair off your chest and glue them on, that's kale. And it's a superfood. See, we only discovered it 5 years ago because Adam and Eve, who were meant to discover it, were distracted looking at the one tree. Get back over, you could have found kale, Adam. Maybe it was the kale. No, I'm not saying that. And see, there's something in us that, you know, you're at a restaurant and you got a home, you got a menu. And it doesn't matter what you order, the heck is that? Ah, and that's called groking, where someone else is always, looks like they've got a better meal than you. You know, sometimes we say, well, the grass is greener. You know, there's something that psychologists have discovered that we always think that the grass is greener on the other side. How many people have heard that? The grass is always greener. Well, you know what? The grass is greener over there because I've got more fertilizer. Okay, I see that you don't understand what that means. All right. Many years ago, there was a T-shirt that says, fertilizer happens. Only it didn't use the word fertilizer. See, we want the green grass. We just want to deal with the fertilizer. But when the proverbial fertilizer hits the fan, the people with green grass know how to use fertilizer and turn it around and use it for good. If someone's grass is greener, they just learn how to master the fertilizer moments, the fertilizer circumstance. Sometimes life is full of fertilizer. Sometimes life is going to throw a fertilizer ball at you. And kingdom people understand, devil, you may be giving me some fertilizer right now, but I'm going to put it in the ground, I'm going to put it in my marriage, I'm going to put it in my family, I'm going to put it in my finances, and all of a sudden my grass is going to be greener. You don't have to live coveting and envying what somebody else has got. You don't have to steal your way to get ahead. All right, because Pastor Leanne isn't here, little naughty story. She's told me never to tell this in church. So I've done it 3 times already. It is self-deprecating because it puts me in a really bad light. But a few years ago, I was preaching in London, England. And I had to fly from Denver, Colorado to Heathrow. And when we got to Denver, they had this massive fog. And so they delayed all the flights. And so by the time we got on the plane, by the time we left, we were 6 hours late. 6 hours late. And so that 6 hours meant that by the time I clear immigration, I've got to go straight to the meeting. I can't go to the hotel. I can't have a little power nap to try and adjust to the time zone and make sure I'm fresh to preach. I've literally got to go straight there, you know, preach the meeting. And so, you know, I didn't hardly sleep on the plane. I'm, you know, kind of discombobulated. And then when I get to this 300 people, like it's like three planes landed at the same time, 300 people. And then God bless the British. They decide, oh, now's a good time for a break, isn't it? So 12 people leave the immigration booths and there's only 2 people stamping left, just 2 people stamping. One of them was a little Oompa Loompa, you know, that didn't have a stamp. He's just Oompa Loompa, Doompa Dee Doo, we have enough. No, he wasn't. That didn't happen at all. And but it should have. It was like that would have been at least entertaining. And so it was hopeless. So I'm watching, and true story, an hour and a half later, I'm finally 10 people from the front. I'm counting 10 people from the front. I've already texted the pastor saying, dude, you know, can you delay the meeting? It's like, yeah, we're going to delay the meeting by half an hour. And don't worry, if you get through now, we can still make it. And, you know, you just come on up at the end of the praise and worship. I'm like, oh, thank you. And then all of a sudden, 10 people out, these TSA people come and they kind of put a block in front of us, and then they go and they disconnect the thing, and then they go like this, and now they're wheeling people in wheelchairs. Right, I'm like, well, what's going on? Somebody looks at me and says, well, you know, disabled people and we're wheeling them to the front. That's not even fair! And they're disabling people. And then, true story, this is so embarrassing. I'm standing there looking at the disabled people going, man, I wish I was just... And I'm thinking, what is wrong with me? I'm coveting their disability now. What is wrong with me? Oh, they get to the front of the line and here's me standing on my legs like a schmuck. You know, like I'm... It's like our human condition knows no depths of depravity. I'm coveting someone with a disability just to get through a freaking... Let me just tell you, if you want to be miserable, covet what you don't have. Covet what you can't have. Covet what belongs to someone. Live in a place where you're never satisfied. You're always looking out. But if you want to be happy, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. This week it's Thanksgiving. You know what Thanksgiving is? It's an opportunity to say, thank you, God. Thank you for my life. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my future. Thank you for my church. Thank you for my pastors. Thank you for my leaders. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for Jesus dying on the cross, rising again on the third day. Thank you that you never leave me nor forsake me. Thank you that you wash away all my sins. Thank you that your death on the cross cleanses me from all unright. Just saying thank you. The Bible says it's our thanksgiving that takes us into the very presence of God. But the devil knows he can get you out of the presence. Watch what it says. Psalm 100 verse 4 says we enter his gates with thanksgiving. The devil knows that if you enter his gates, you enter into a place of peace, prosperity, security. So what he's going to do, he's going to keep you out from entering. So what has he got to do? He's got to make sure you ain't giving thanks. Instead, you're whining and complaining. How come I don't have... She's always... And he wants you to believe that everyone else is getting blessed. That's why Instagram came out to be such a blessing and such a curse. Because it looks like everybody else is like, my life sucks. There's people, you know, like having the best time. And you're like, they're having the best time. No, they're not. They took a little photo. And then they're running it through a filter. And people are like, hey, you're going to join in now? I'm posting about what an awesome time I'm having. And then like an hour later, all right, the party's over. Hang on, I haven't finished the filters and the posting. And then you post it. At least the picture looks like I had a good time. I had a good time, kinda. Live in the moment. Live in the moment. Honestly, be thankful. Instagram will pull you that somebody else, everybody else, other people. Man, you don't have to covet what other people have. Well, Pastor, are you saying that I should just settle for what I have? No, just be grateful for what you have. But watch this. The Bible says this. Whoever is faithful in least, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. God wants your life to increase. God has a plan for your life to get better and better, to increase, to have more opportunity, to have greater levels of blessing on your life. Well, what's the key to unlock it? Glad you asked. It's being faithful in the little. Part of being faithful in the little, just be thankful in the little. You know, the parable of the talents, the guy who buried it had no value on it. He wasn't grateful. The Bible says a master calls three servants, gives one 5 talents, 5 years' wages, another one 2 talents, 2 years' wages, another one 1 talent, 1 year's wages, and sent them away, and each went and traded. The 5 went and traded, produced 5 more. The 2 went and traded 2 more. This guy with one, just stuck it in the ground. And then the master comes back, and the 5 says, Lord, you gave me 5 years' wages. Look what I did. I produced 5, doubled your money. Oh, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You're going to be in charge of 10 cities. What? Me? Yeah, you, son. Go with 2 talents, 2 years' wages, doubles it. He says, man, well done. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You're going to be looking after 4 cities from here on. Not me. The guy with 1 puts it in the ground, goes, there you go. Have what's yours. And the master's like, well, what were you doing? You were doing something. Were you playing tiddlywinks? What were you doing while I was gone? What were you doing? He had to be doing something. He goes, I know you to be a hard man. Reaping where you haven't sown, gathering where you haven't scattered. See, look, there you have. You little miserable, lazy wretch. There's a lot of people that live in the one talent thing because they're not grateful for the opportunity. They're not great. You may only have one talent. You may only have a little. But man, be grateful for the little. Be thankful for the little. Be diligent with the little. Be diligent with that opportunity. You may not be in your dream job yet. You may not be in that position yet. You may not be where you want to be yet. But God is looking, can you be faithful there? Can you celebrate there? Or do you allow the devil to get you to covet what you don't have? All right, last one. I'm out of time. I've been so naughty. I swore to God, you guys gave me more time than I needed, and I squandered. Thank you. The last one, you're going to love this one. This is the naughtiest one of all of them. The third lie of the devil is that the Holy Spirit will make you weird. It's interesting. God forms Adam from the dust and then breathes into Adam the breath of life. And then the Bible says, and then Adam got up and started spirit dancing. Then Adam got up and started waving banners. Adam began to twirl, wearing nothing but a leotard. Adam started going up to the apes and going, right in their faces. Adam started prophesying over the giraffe. You're going to be really tall, do you? I mean, nowhere does it say that Adam became weird. You don't have to be weird to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Adam was not weird. Jesus said, you shall receive power. He didn't say you shall receive weirdness. He said you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Jesus did not send the Holy Ghost to make the church weird. He sent the Holy Ghost to make the church powerful. He wants you to operate in power. He wants signs and wonders to follow after you. When the Holy Spirit fills your life, when you are full of the Holy Spirit, you can say, signs and wonders, follow me. We're going to preach the gospel. The Bible says, and they went out preaching the gospel, the Lord confirming the word being preached with signs and wonders following. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, signs and wonders, follow me. Signs and wonders will follow you. Signs and wonders will follow you. Tuesday morning prayer meeting, signs and wonders, signs and wonders, signs and wonders. Thursday morning prayer meeting, signs and wonders, signs and wonders, signs and wonders. Sunday services, signs and wonders. Thursday night, my city, signs and wonders. Why is that? It's because of the Holy Ghost. The devil's, do you know there are some churches that have banned the Holy Spirit? There are some churches, we don't have anything to do with the Holy Spirit. Oh, we can't control him. Of course you can't. He's God. He ain't meant to be controlled.
Oh, we don't know what people will do.
Well, you can control people. Well, you know, we just want to dumb everything down. We don't want anything freaky to happen. Can I tell you, I like a little bit of freak in church. Between you and me, I like. If you can explain everything, where's God?
Well, you know, you asked about God. Yes, I've got him over here in my filing cabinet under FG. Here he is under G. Yes, there it is, God. Yes, I've catalogued him, categorized him. I can explain him to you. It's quite simple. It's like a math formula, easily explained.
If you think you can explain and catalog and categorize God, you never got God. I've been following him for 32 years. God reveals himself. Every time he does, my God, blows my mind. Every time I catch a glimpse of God, I feel like falling on my face. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. I can't tell you how many times I have sinned against him. How many times I have been unfaithful to him. And I'm surely this time he's not. Surely I can't. This time I've gone too far. And I look, and there he is with his hands outstretched, the nails in his wrist, the hole in his side, arms wide open. Come. Oh God, I don't deserve your mercy. I don't deserve it. He said, if you deserved it, there wouldn't be mercy. There is nobody like him. If you think you can file him away in your little cabinet, if you think I want to have a church where people are like, whoa. The first group of people we ever lost from C3 left because God turned up. True story. We were going 6 weeks, and the Holy Spirit said, no preaching today. No soup for you. No, he didn't say that. He just said, no preaching. He said, I was just testing to see if you're still with me. Anyway, and so he says, I want you to pray for people today. So we start praying. And all of a sudden, I have a mutiny. Poor old Pastor Andrew has lost 3/4 of his music team. They're all leaving. And so I'm like, man, well, why are you guys going? They're like, we don't believe that people fall over in church. You don't? Falling over is not from God, it's from the devil. I'm like, but they got healed. They got set free. Yeah, but we don't believe people. Look, I don't care if they fall backwards, fall forwards, stick to the ceiling. I don't care. As long as they get healed, I don't care. But people are like, well, these people are like, well, I'm so naughty, I'm out of time. I reckon there needs to be a little bit of stuff where, yeah, I can't really explain it. It's just God. God turned up. Well, please, can you explain how you laid a human hand on somebody and the tumor completely disappeared? I don't understand. I understand the laws of physics, but I don't, because we've moved from physics into metaphysics. We've moved from natural into supernatural. We've moved from what you've experienced as normal into paranormal. There is an X factor. There is another dimension that God wants you to live in. And the only explanation is God. But don't think you can categorize it. But you can visit there. You can take tours there. You can take trips there. It's worth going there. And the person that has the vehicle that takes you there is the Holy Ghost. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you begin to speak in languages you don't understand. So it begins with enigma. It begins with mystery. The Bible says, he who speaks in a tongue doesn't speak to men. He speaks to God. Indeed, with his spirit, he utters mysteries. When I came to San Diego, people were like, who's going to come to your church? I don't know. How are you going to get a building? Do you know how expensive it is in San Diego to buy buildings? I don't know. Do you know there's no zoning in San Diego for churches? How are you ever going to have a church? I don't know. But I didn't need to know. All of these things were cataloged as mysteries. All I needed to do was speak in tongues to pray in the Holy Ghost, because he who speaks in tongues utters mysteries. So I let the Holy Spirit begin. Mysteries is the dimension of God. Let's not take the mystery out of God. Let's not take the mystery out of church. I'm so far over time. Come on, would you give the Lord a hand? Did you hear that tonight? The Lannings, stay standing. Would you stretch your hands out towards the beautiful Lannings? This is Randy and his beautiful wife. I just see favor. I see increase. And I hear the word accelerator. I see a beautiful red Formula One car. And I see God putting you in it. And God is accelerating what is on your life. The devil has tried to whisper to you saying, hey, you went into the marketplace and now you've left behind. You've lost ground. And the Lord would say, no. You followed my lead. You put me, you put your bride, you put your family, you put those things first. Because you've been obedient, says the Lord, I'm going to accelerate. It'll be like others are driving, forgive me, a Prius. And you're going to go past in your Formula One. You're going to go past in your Formula One. What looks like has gone backwards, know this, says the Lord, for the arrow to shoot forth, the string must be pulled back. It looks like you've been pulled back, but it's only so that you can surpass all that you've left behind. It looks like you've gone backwards, but God has only taken you back to project you forward. There's a ministry gift. There's a ministry anointing. There's a ministry future. Both of you. I see both of you. both of you preaching. I see both of you laying hands on the sick. I see you terminating terminal. I see you praying for people that are unable to have babies, and babies into the womb. Twins are born, but the doctor says they wouldn't have children. See the great power of God resting on you. See the power of God resting on you. Come on, give God a great round. Sometimes I have too much fun up here and I'm out of time. Dr. Matt's already saying you're not going to be invited back if you keep going over time. So it's awkward. Would you do this? Would you close your eyes? Just bow your head. I want to pray for people in my... Well, I don't even have 30 seconds. Just in the last few moments of this extended service. If you're here tonight, friend, don't leave the same way you came in. If you're away from God, if you're disconnected from God, if you once walked with God, if you once knew God, or maybe you've just settled for religion, going through the motion. Oh, I've got to tell you, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. The word religion comes from the word regale in the Latin. It means regulations. Life's too short to just heap up a whole lot more regulations. Jesus didn't die to give us more religion. He died to set us free from the regulations. He died to set us free from so that you could have God in your life. You could walk with God, that He would be as close to you as your very breath in your mouth, that you could walk into your valley facing your giant, knowing that your God is with you. The same one who spoke and created the universe is right beside you. If you're here tonight and you're not walking with Him, walk with Him. If you're here tonight and you've drifted from Him, come back. If you're here tonight and you're just far from Him, would you let me pray for you to draw near to Him? If that's you tonight, one of those three categories, would you quickly raise your hand and say, Pastor, you're talking about me. Would you pray for me? And I'll see your hand and I'll pray for you.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.